Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on Fine Music Radio. South Africa's energy story long been dominated by coal and crisis, but we know that renewables have certainly stepped into the breach through load shedding and through intractable issues around REIPPPP Window 4 when Eskom didn't want to sign any deals. But really, it feels like a new season. Despite that, there are challenges, but there's a new player stepping into the spotlight with some serious firepower. Anthem, it was born from the integration of African Clean Energy Developments, AZ, and EIMS Africa under the African Infrastructure Investment Managers AIM, Managed Ideas Fund, as a shareholder. And it launches as one of the country's largest renewable energy companies, a 2.7 gig secured portfolio, an 11 gigawatt pipeline, and a mission that goes beyond those megawatts to real jobs and empowerment and regional expansion. Anthem already accounts for about 15% of South Africa's renewable IPP market. Joining us to unpack the new chapter is Anthem's Chief Commercial Officer, Michael Wickens. Michael, thanks for joining us and congrats. I think Anthem's launch is being described as a game changer in the renewable energy sector. So let's just start at the beginning. This product of combining AZ and EIMS Africa, why was this integration necessary now and how does it change the game for South Africa's clean energy sector?
Michael, firstly, thanks very much for having me on your show. It's great to chat to you. Look, it was primarily a matter of practicality and logistic, but actually as we unpacked the integration of the businesses, we realized that it really did create a much more formidable force. And that's because that, you know, what we were doing between ACID, you know, as the name suggests, African Clean Energy Developments, that was primarily a development and delivery platform. And then EIMS, Energy Infrastructure Management Services, really was the asset manager for the operating portfolio of assets. But those assets were still owned and controlled by the Ideas Fund. So you had the disparate parts of a business being run in three separate entities. And we realized in bringing those entities together and in bringing those assets under a single roof, we really do create some economies of scale and a lot more efficiency in how we go about things.
And it helps us frame how we should be thinking about Anthem's role, less probably about consolidating market share, more is positioning for this new wave of growth. You've got 17 operating projects, four under construction, three at financial close, a substantial 2.7 gigawatt secured capacity and 11 gigawatt pipeline. How do you prioritize which projects to push forward given South Africa's grid constraints and our current policy environment?
Well, you've just absolutely nailed it on the head. It's all about grid capacity. So we have a philosophy within Anthem. We are, you know, we don't take a shotgun approach to our projects. We develop very meticulously and we choose our assets very carefully to ensure, A, that we can deliver them, that we won't overpromise and underdeliver, but also that we do it in a manner in which our team, which is frankly smaller than many of our competitors and more agile and efficient, we deploy that team very clinically. As you've said, the primary focus at the moment really is about grid connection, and that is where we are focusing. And the anticipated curtailment rules really are much hoped for, you know, the solve for a lot of the grid capacity constraints in the short to medium term.
Given that, I mean, are you prepared to build where the resource is weaker because much of the best wind and solar resource sits in grid constrained areas? Are you prepared to build maybe where the resource is weaker but the grid is stronger, or will you just press ahead in the hot zones and trust the transmission build out catches up?
We would be very happy to build. The real question to that is, would people be prepared to buy? You know, the problem with the lower resource areas is that in order to pay off that substantial capital investment and to make shareholder returns over the life of the power purchase agreement, you've got to charge a higher price because you're simply producing less power. So unfortunately, that is the trade-off, and that's why you don't see a massive rush into the unconstrained provinces. You know, we'd all love to do that, but your off-takers just aren't going to pay a marked premium for less efficient power stations.
Yeah, very good point. And obviously curtailment has become the elephant in the room as well, with IPPs being told to trim output because the grid can't absorb it. How is Anthem protecting its revenues and investors against forced curtailment? Do you support a formal compensation regime? And if so, who should foot that bill? Eskom, government, or the end user?
I mean, I think what's important to know is that the government procured IPPs, the so-called REAP assets, and this doesn't just go for us, this goes for everyone in the market. Those account for Eskom paying for power that is available but not taken by Eskom as the off-taker. So those projects effectively are protected by their contractual arrangements with Eskom. In the private world market, it's slightly different, and it's a negotiated position between a seller and a buyer for us as well as for any other IPP. And those arrangements are very bespoke and are determined largely by where those projects are and how high the risk of curtailment is.
When it comes to the transmission issue, I mean, the backlog is pegged at hundreds of billions of rand. Eskom obviously can't fund it alone. Do you think private players like Anthem would be willing, and would you want to co-invest in grid infrastructure? Would you be willing to put your own capital into pylons and substations to secure future growth?
You know, Michael, I think it's the introduction of private players into the transmission space is a game changer, and it's a fundamentally important development. So let me say that we wholeheartedly support it. You know, I think that between the system operator, National Treasury, and the World Bank, which is leading a support mechanism behind the ITP, I think that the investors into that space are going to have a very well-structured and reliable program, much as we had in the REAP program. So I do think it will enjoy a lot of support. Whether we will invest in it directly in the early days, we haven't yet made a final decision on that. And that's again, got nothing to do with our belief or support for that program. It's got everything to do with us just having limited bandwidth to be all players to all people. So yeah, we certainly do see that as something we could well participate in the future. But whether we'll participate in the first round, that's still to be decided.
And we know that bid windows often come with localization requirements that can push up costs, but are politically sensitive. And there's often a lot of talk here in the just energy transition about not just megawatts, but about jobs and localization and ownership. I see that you've included Makhloko's role as a black woman-owned energy fund. That certainly brings diversity and transformation to Anthem's shareholder base. How significant is that for you? And how is Anthem ensuring that communities and local businesses meaningfully benefit from this rapid scaling?
Michael, I'm glad you asked. It's a massively, massively important issue for us, and you know, one that I really don't think gets enough focus or a loud enough voice. And I'm not talking just for Anthem. I'm talking in the industry. You know, the amount of investment and development in local communities around private power plants is absolutely phenomenal. And the Independent Power Producer Office, to my view, it really should take a lot of credit for the amount of development and investment that there has been. But just to give you some idea in terms of Anthem's track record, you know, from a pure environmental point of view, we have offset over 11 million tons of carbon dioxide. We've invested more than 600 million rand into socioeconomic and enterprise development initiatives, and we've supported over 1,200 small and medium-sized businesses. So, wow. You know, that's a single entity. We like to believe we are making a very significant and meaningful difference, and that is it's something that this sector should be very, very proud of.
Those are phenomenal numbers. I mean, over half a billion rand in socioeconomic and enterprise development spending, 1,200 SMEs. And I agree with you, Michael. It's something that the industry could probably trumpet a little bit more loudly. I know some people in the industry don't like slapping themselves on their own backs, but I think it's a phenomenal achievement broadly in the industry as well. Now, when it comes to capital and financing risk, we know the cost of capital in South Africa is still high, and RE projects carry currency and other risks as well. You know, what's Anthem's edge in convincing lenders and DFIs that your projects are bankable and resilient? And do you see a more blended finance with development as essential to unlock that 11 gig pipeline, or can Anthem stand on its own balance sheet?
Michael, we're in a deeply fortunate position where between the Ideas Fund, who has been our 100% shareholder up until this point in time, but with the introduction of Matlako and Northfund, we really have a very deep capital investment base, and that's it's a massively fortunate position that we're in. But I think the other thing that we really rely heavily on is a track record. You know, we do have an extensive portfolio of assets that we have developed, managed the construction of, operate, and now in the last few years have entered into the actual operations and management space. So we are vertically integrated across these projects, and we have a substantial track record of delivery and performance. And I think that gives investors a lot of confidence in putting their money behind what we're doing. And that goes on, you know, obviously for the equity side, but we have to raise really, really significant amounts of money in the debt markets to support the construction of these projects, and all of the local banks really do play their part in assisting us in that. In terms of the participation of development finance institutions, you know, the renewables market really has matured to a point now where the appetite from the DFIs to invest in generation assets perhaps isn't what it once was, and that's because there remains a lot of commercial banking appetite for that. But I think there are a tremendous amount of other initiatives that are related to this, and the ITP is an excellent example where I think there is absolutely a space for the DFIs to play.
Yeah, and we certainly hope that the recent momentum just builds around that. Speaking of momentum, we have been fairly slow to roll out wheeling and private trading frameworks. Are you seeing enough regulatory momentum to make wheeling a real market solution, or is it still more promise than practice?
No, I think the wheeling space really has started to develop a pace now. You know, and we have leveraged that. So we have built you know, industrial scale projects now for where our off-takers are the likes of Rio Tinto, Sibanye-Stillwater, Sasol, Harmony. You know, these are blue chip companies that are now able to benefit from the power that we generate. It hasn't been easy to get here, and you know, credit is due to Eskom for assisting us to get these contracts and agreements and wheeling arrangements in place in a world where there wasn't initially a formal framework. But that framework certainly has developed and is continuing to develop, and I think that the ease of business is improving, and we really are optimistic on the wholesale energy market, which we are anticipating launching next year, that you really are going to see a massive step towards the liberalization of the energy market.
Yeah, and you know, one could question whether or not we even need REIPPPP anymore. The future, you know, is very much about private PPAs, and you know, with the space having transformed the way it has, we're only about 20 years too late if you look at the 98 white paper. But Michael, I'm going to ask you as a closing thought, if Anthem represents the power of together, as your CEO described at the launch, what does success look like for you in the next 5 years?
Success for us certainly is a maintenance of our market share, and that's, you know, in terms of the growth trajectory of the RE market in this country, means that we will be tripling our existing portfolio. So we're aiming to be at around 6 gigawatts, but we're not beholden to that number. What we really are looking to do is to maintain market share, because if we do that, it will inherently mean a massive acceleration in the growth of our business. So that's very important, and obviously returns to shareholders are very important, and those are the things that drive this business. But the number one priority for us, Michael, and I can't stress this enough, and I really hope that the numbers I discussed earlier demonstrate that we don't pay lip service to this, is that we want our business to be at the forefront of the development and improvement of the lives of the people of this country, and as we move outside of these borders, to do the same in our neighbors. We want to leave a lasting legacy and something that our children and our grandchildren can be very proud of.
Yeah, I think anyone who's done a road trip through the Karoo recently, as we did a couple of weeks ago, driving through places like Da'ar and elsewhere, you just see the impact of renewable energy projects in these communities that so desperately need it. That was Michael Wickens, Chief Commercial Officer at Anthem, South Africa's newest clean energy leader. As the country battles with transmission bottlenecks and the urgency of a just energy transition, I think Anthem's arrival couldn't be more timely. Power with purpose and the power of together. We'll certainly be watching closely to see if this new clean energy heavyweight delivers on that promise to light the way forward. Stay tuned. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.